There are some parts of the gospel that some people call the hard sayings of Jesus. And this is one of the hard sayings from Luke chapter 12, beginning at the 49th verse. Jesus said to his disciples, "I came to bring fire to the earth. Now I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No. I tell you, rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It's going to rain.' And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We now come to that point where we have a little discussion about things. And what we've decided today is, how do you decide what is right? Now, on the night of the 6th of March 1987, the Herald of Free Enterprise sank with a loss of 193 passengers and crew. This is something that I find hard to talk about, because I should have been the chief engineer on that ship that night, but I'd swapped duties with another chief engineer because he wanted to go somewhere on a previous night. But one of the commonest items in the newspapers that people on the street, they interviewed people from the street, said was that they'd seen ferries leave the berth with their bow doors open numerous times. But this was due to the fact that the ferries, most of the ferries, had what we call a clam door. That is, it opened and closed like that. But the Herald and her sister ships and all subsequent ships in Dover have what we call a clam door, which actually rolls back round the hull like that. And this was so that they could actually close the doors before they left the berth. This is vox populi, which really didn't tell the whole story. It was also stated that these doors could not be seen from the bridge. This was not true. If you look down from the bridge wing, which is where the master, because the Merchant Navy does not have captains, something else which is commonly misquoted, he could have seen that the doors were still rolled back beside the hull. In my 23 years on the ferries, this is the only time that I know of where a ferry sailed out of the harbour with the doors open, although it was stated in the press many times that this was a common occurrence. I had been involved in trials of indicators for the doors using the technology of the day, which was mechanical switches. In the hostile environment they had to operate in, they quickly became unreliable, giving false indications on numerous occasions. It was decided then that it was more dangerous to have them because personnel would become so used to them giving false indications, and they would say, "Oh, it's the switches again," and not investigate, thus creating a danger that it could be a real indication. When solid-state proximity switches became available, we were just about to start a trial when the Herald disaster happened. But it was plastered across the newspapers that we'd taken no steps to ensure that there were indications that the doors were closed. That isn't true. Something else which the press never ever said was that any ship that gets water inside its hull is in danger of sinking. It's happened to cargo ships when hatch covers are not properly secured and have been ripped off by heavy seas, resulting in the loss of lives on the ship. So the problem is with reporting is they report half the facts and they put their own slant on things. And it's very difficult to overcome that bias, that slant.
Thank you, Jim. Yes, how do we tell what's right and what's the truth? Recently, we had another day in America where there were two mass shootings in El Paso and in Ohio. In Ohio, 9 people were killed and 27 injured. In El Paso, 22 killed and 27 injured. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, said that he had done everything that he could to try and protect the people in Texas from such events. He may very well have been totally sincere in that statement and in the belief that that is what he had done. What steps had he taken? Every single piece of legislation that relaxed gun controls that had come to him, he had signed into law. From this September, for instance, it will be illegal for schools to try and prevent any licensed gun owner from bringing their gun into a school car park in Texas. You can conceal carry guns into daycare centres. He believes very firmly in the mantra, the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And I have quite a few friends, several of them in Texas, over in America, who very firmly believe that this is the case. But are they right? Since the 2012 Sandy Hook attack, 20 children killed and 6 adults, 2/3 of states enacting new gun legislation have relaxed gun controls and checks, making it easier to acquire weapons and expanding where you can carry them. Greg Abbott, his response at that time as governor of Texas, was to arm the teachers. America currently has about 5% of the world's population. It has about 45% of the world's privately armed weapons. Surely this should make it a much safer place with relating to mass shootings, if the mantra is correct. Mass shootings haven't increased in frequency since Sandy Hook, so that seems to be working. However, they have increased in deadliness, the number of people killed. For instance, Canada has 34.7 guns per resident, whereas America has 120.5 guns per 100 residents. Yeah, more guns than people in America. So, surely more guns, America's safer. Canada has 5.1 gun deaths per weapon. America has 29.7. So the mantra doesn't seem to be working. And when you look at what happened, in Ohio, police were on the scene and killed the shooter within 30 seconds of him opening fire. In that time, he had fired 41 rounds from a 100-round ammunition magazine. And as I said, killed 9 and wounded 27. In El Paso, the gunman surrendered when the policeman arrived, 6 minutes after he opened fire. 22 killed and 27 injured. So I think we can fairly safely say the good guys with guns approach does not work. All of the logic there, all of the numbers say it doesn't work. And yet, my friends and the governor of Texas refuse to believe that. They will not change their minds. They have their version of the truth. The facts don't fit with the way that they would like the world to be. It's an inconvenient truth, in a way, to borrow a phrase. So how do you tell what is right? Jim, if you'd care to come and help me with something, Maureen has a little story for us. Right, okay, now, we've got something for you to all to have a look at. Right, now, can everybody see the numbers that we've got? Right, what number is it?
211.
211.
211. On the other side, you're saying it's 112. Well, you lot are wrong. It's clearly 211. 211. Maureen, would you care to come and tell the story? I mean, obviously, you know, we're both right. It's just from the point of view. From over here, it's 211. From over there, it's 112. So it doesn't really matter which it really is, because it's both, doesn't it? Maureen.
Well, the story is that we arrived on holiday at the place we were staying in Devon after a long journey. We were met with an army of volunteers, because Lee Abbey is run by a team, army of volunteers to kindly carry our luggage. Derek had the room number on a transparent block of plastic attached to the key. He said, room 211. Well, we said it won't be far to go because they've promised us a ground floor room. We were led up in the lift. Oh well, the building is on sort of two sites at the back of a hill, so perhaps, you know, what's ground floor down there is also ground floor up there. Oh, they said, we've got a staircase to climb now. Climbed the staircase. There they were, carrying all the luggage. Room 211. Oh, they said, well, it's not en suite, and it's a single room. There must be some mistake. We were faced with a single bed. Oh, they said, looking at the transparent plastic, you've been reading it wrong. It's 112. And there, 112 was our beautiful ground floor ensuite room, where we were very happy indeed. It had a shower to die for.
So you can see, what is the truth? Yes. Well, I've got one more example. In 1998, a leading glaciologist, Dr. Ramirez, predicted the complete disappearance of Chacaltea glacier in the Andes by 2015, a claim that at the time was dismissed as ridiculous, overly dramatic, and so on. It disappeared in 2014, a year earlier than he predicted. So, and the start of that meltdown can be traced back to the mid-1980s. And the rate of thaw tripled in the last 10 years of its life. So he was right, and everybody else who poo-pooed his ideas were wrong. And there's a photograph, 1988 and 2014. So you can see, it is very, very difficult to decide what is the truth.
But Jesus said, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? We have a responsibility. With so many ideas and opinions flying about, how can we begin to know what is true? What is trustworthy? It's a very common belief, I think they call it postmodern, that there's no such thing as truth, and only different opinions. And that's what we've been hearing about. When a certain well-known American gentleman is faced by facts he doesn't like, he tweets, fake news, fake news. And thousands, millions believe him. Margaret, a friend of ours, was on holiday in the States, and she met one of these people who told her never to listen to what the BBC tells us, because they're all communists there, dear. Perhaps that's a new one to you. We live in a world where truth is a very rare commodity. And if there's no right and no wrong, how can we begin to follow Jesus' call to judge for ourselves what is right? It's all confusion. Like it said in Ecclesiastes, all is vanity. But, again, and there is a merciful but at the end of all this, we as Christians have a different starting point. Instead of staring blankly at the swirl of opinions and prejudices and lies that invade us, we need to recall some other words of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth. Years ago in a Bible class, I was taught a little chorus. Maybe you were taught little choruses years ago. They seem to have gone out of fashion in some places and can be misunderstood. But this one said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The things of earth in this case didn't mean the glorious creation, but meant prejudice and lies. If we look to the source of truth, perhaps we can put the lies in perspective. Start with Jesus and judge all claims of truth by the light of the one who said, I am the light of the world. And we could just finally consider this. Jesus not only gives us the standards to judge by, but also the strength and the comfort and the love to live by them. I am the way and the truth and the life. Amen.